Welcome to Black with Sugar, your weekly podcast with Kezia Mack and Nadia Itassan.
Hello, hello.
And today we have a little guest with us. She was licking my feet, so we're like, oh, okay. She wants to participate today.
Miki, you got something to say?
And she's been actually very quiet, right? Every time
Very quiet.
She stayed right there sleeping. Anyway, today, guys, I picked a subject that I wanted to talk about. But before I tell you more,
okay.
I wanted to tell a story to Kezia and I want her to guess what the subject is going to be.
I hope it's a funny story.
It is a funny story.
Okay.
I don't think actually I ever talked to you about this.
I don't know. Tell me, because sometimes we, you know.
So it was a couple of years ago. My dad was still alive. Mm-hmm. One of a family friends went to see my dad and tell him, hey, I want to get married and I would like to know if you have someone that you can introduce.
Okay.
And this kid was born and he grew up in France. And my dad asked him, but what are you looking for? And he said, I don't want a girl who was born in France because they're too feminist, they're too this, too that. I want a, they're too modern. You know, they want to travel. Yeah. But the strange thing is that this guy was a regular guy. So he said, oh, I don't want a modern girl. I want a traditional girl. Do you have someone that you could
introduce me
to? Someone pretty, but someone very traditional. And I know you come from this little town in Morocco. So maybe you can think of someone. And my dad actually has a niece. She is still, but at that time she was just gorgeous, single, never married, live with her parents, virgin, of course, because that was one of the requirements. He wanted the girl to be virgin. Of course, that's why he didn't want a girl from France, you know, because we're bad girls.
Okay.
So my dad did the introduction. The guy went to Morocco.
She was in Morocco. She was in Morocco.
Because he said he didn't even want a girl from the city.
The
from
city
Morocco.
Of Morocco. So like, yes. In the village.
Yes, yes. He wanted a traditional woman that's not going to complain, that's going to be happy, staying at home, cooking.
Make babies and all that stuff.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, not that we wanted something bad to happen to this girl, but she was in a very traditional home. She took care of her parents and she was taking care of her parents, sorry. And she was not married, beautiful girl, virgin. And really, if you go to the mountain area in Morocco, it's very, very, very traditional.
Yeah.
So she didn't know anything. I don't even think that she really went to school for long. I think she didn't like it or something. I don't remember why, because I know her brother went to school and her older sister went to school.
But so not necessarily her, yeah.
I'm not sure why, never really asked actually, but I know she could have the opportunity for some reason she liked to stay with her parents. I think she was also a little bit shy. But so for her, of course, it's an opportunity. You can go to France. You can help your parents too. Then she was the youngest too. And so he went to Morocco, went to meet her. Everything goes well. They kind of like each other.
They
I mean, she's very pretty.
And everything.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. What is not to like? The girl is very pretty. And she's very innocent. So he went to see my dad and said, okay, I liked her. So then he went to see the parents, ask her hand, and started the paperwork to bring her in France. That's when the trouble started. So he bring her to France. Of course, for her, can you imagine? You come from the mountain area.
And you go straight to France. Not even this Moroccan big city.
Not even a city. I don't even think she ever went in her life in a big city in Morocco.
Really?
Even the
really?
One that was, yes, yes.
Okay, so really like a village
lived.
Girl. Like.
And the thing is that even where I live, it's a small, like it's a small town, but they live in a remote area of
that
the mountain.
Small town.
Yes, yes. So it's not even like they were in the middle of the people. So she came to France. Of course, she has us there. We have other family in France, so she was not alone. And at the beginning, things were fine. But then she started asking questions, like she thought it was a little bit weird, and she didn't really know what to talk to about it.
Yeah.
And she asked my older sister, she was like, well, I don't understand. He asked me to to take off my hair from my legs. And you also want me to take off the hair from the...
Moustache.
Like from the upper lips. And for her, that was such a strange thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So started like this. And she's like, oh, you know, that's how it is in France. You know, women,
wanna
we have to take care of
ourselves.
Want to
be feminine or whatever, just be like sexy.
Yes. And then my sister gave her a little robe, like a nightgown, so that she can be sexy for the night and everything. And the trouble started. So something was wrong, and we couldn't really figure it out what was wrong. And until one day, so my aunt out there, and she's saying that she's sick.
Oh.
Yes, she's like, oh, I'm sick. And the guy was telling my family, oh, she's being very difficult. And it was very hard for her to spit it out. But when she spit it out to my aunt and my mom, and me and my sister were like, oh, she said that? Because we don't say that, you know?
So, tick tock, tick tock.
So she said, no, but... So... She said she was sick. She keeps saying that she has cancer of her throat. She said, I have cancer in my throat. I have cancer in my throat.
Which is very possible. That exists.
And Moroccan women can be so dramatic. She scream and run on, like she wore herself on the floor and screaming like this. My uncles, everybody's like, she's crazy.
They took her to the doctor.
Yeah, well, they took her to the doctor and the doctor's like, there's nothing. It's in her head. And my aunt and my ankle, everybody's like, relax, it's nothing. She's like, no, I have cancer, I'm telling you. And so they were in the kitchen. And she said to my aunt, she was like, why do you think you have cancer of your throat?
You feel something or some kind
of
pain?
And she said, no, I know I'm sick and this guy is crazy because he wants to have sex like animals. And we're like, what? And she said, yes, you want to go behind like the animals, like the position that animals have. I'm not talking about going the back door. I'm talking just the position, which for her, she only saw animals doing that. She never thought that human were doing that too. And then she said to my aunt, which are kind of religious, I mean, not very, very religious, but kind of. I mean, you wouldn't say that, very traditional, conservative. And she said, he wants to put his things in my mouth. And he put it in this. And that's why she thought she was sick.
She had cancer. Well, let me tell you something, homegirl. A lot of women will have cancer today, but luckily, that's not the problem.
But we're laughing about it. Because
for
her, she was devastated. And she kept crying, and she could adapt. And we're just like, okay, so the guy didn't even know how to prepare her for this kind of thing.
Like, they never even talk about...
But this is what happened when you take a girl from the mountain area in a remote...
Like, she never really see anything.
Country.
Or
yeah, she's never... She didn't... And he was complaining about that. What do you think? You think she was like a porn star or something? This guy is crazy. But I think maybe he had crazy things he wanted to do.
But it's crazy that she was just thinking about cancer. I mean... Just a connection.
Because she didn't know. And
she thought that maybe
heard
that kind of act,
you know,
will give you cancer or something like that.
Yeah. And I guess he kind of pushed her to do it. And now she felt that she was sick.
Like, that's it.
No, he went so far.
I'm going to hell.
But he went so far that they divorced and she went back to Morocco. She didn't want to stay. She was so upset about the whole thing. And there was nothing we could do.
It was just too much for her. It was just too much for her. So she was like, let me just get back to my little village.
But where we were laughing about the story. I mean, I know it's a sad story, but she's fine. Don't worry about it. She's totally fine. I guess she will have experience.
I'm sure your mom and your aunt in the kitchen were like, what?
So when she said that to my aunt and my mom, we don't talk about sex in my house. In my family, it's like, it's a Muslim.
No bueno.
Yes, it's a Muslim culture there. And I mean, culture, you understand what I mean. So we don't talk about sex at all. And the fact that she said that to, even if they were women, but to them, just like, no, this is what he wants to do. My sister was like, oh my God. That's what you say. And I was like, I was upstairs and I was like, what did you say? Just like, she said that to mom. And the aunt was like, oh, no way.
She just needed to let that out. So she was tired of this man. She just needed to let that out.
I don't even know if my aunt knew about fellation. I have no idea if they knew about this. I don't know. I'm sure they do, but it's something very taboo. We don't talk about it. I mean, anyway. So did you guess the subject of today?
I'm guessing we're going to definitely talk sexuality in our culture and the taboo around all of that.
Because sometimes it can lead to a very funny story and sometimes kind of not.
La chose.
But it's interesting because I come from Morocco, you come from Congo, Côte d'Ivoire. And although we were born in France and we were raised in France, still, you know, there were so much taboo at home that I will say French descent people didn't have, right?
Facts.
But how is it in your house? Did you ever talk to your mom about your boyfriends, if you met somebody?
No.
Did you ever introduce a guy to your parents?
No, because my mom was very clear on that subject. If he ain't the one, or I will say if she's not the one, because I have a brother, she was basically, keep that in my house. I do not want to see. If it's not the person that you locked in, she's like,
Yes.
We don't need more detail. But if the day you want to, if you feel like this is the one, just go ahead and do what needs to be done. So I think she was more like, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to see anything. And when you guys are ready to really do the right thing, then we can talk. But we never really openly talked about sexuality, men's, women, or whatever. So
same here. The only boyfriend introduced to my parents was the one that was supposed to marry me.
Yeah.
And that's why he came. He came just to ask my hand, but we don't introduce men. Although my sister was kind of crazy, she did bring guys home. My sister was not like a regular.
She was more of a rebel.
That's why she was considered.
And it happens. It happens because obviously the fact that you can't really bring that kind of topic when you don't have something and everybody's telling you it's bad, the first thing you want to do is go and take a peek or experience. So, and I will say, even me in France, I grew up with a lot of immigration. So a lot of my friends were either Muslim, whether you're Christian, in general, African, whether it's North Africa or Sub-Saharan. And you can tell that in general, the women who were acting the crazier were the one where really just like, it was just like military at home. Like, you don't go do that. You don't talk to boys. You don't talk to this. You don't do this. So it was just like, no, 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 no. And then, so they were acting a certain way, but then outside of the home, they were just wilding.
But look, I think it depends because in my house, it was not a military house in my.
No, when I say not military.
My sister was just crazy because she was crazy.
Maybe military is not the word, the perfect word, but it was just like.
Very strict.
Very strict.
But my parents were not very strict. They were strict, but not as strict as other family that I could compare myself with.
Same thing for me, but I think in general, the problem is that in our culture, whether it's on the continent or in a diaspora, it's just a topic that it's overall, we'll say, taboo, where you don't really bring that up. I think it's changing, but in general, it's very rare that you're going to sit on the couch with your mom and
have your boyfriend there or talk
have
about
your boyfriend there and talk about your last date or whatever the case may be.
I think I might be pregnant.
See, what? That's where you get,
killed.
Listen.
Your luggage will be ready. This is the door. You take this. It was difficult though, because we grew up in an environment that was modern and you go home and it's so traditionalist. I mean, for us, it was very traditionalist.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. My parents, they weren't like the strict parents or whatever, but I think we were free to go. We were free to go out and have male friends.
Did your parents know that you had boyfriends?
No. You talk about male friend as friends that I have.
No, boyfriends, like a petit ami.
Because first of all, I start very late in that because I was just like, I didn't really have any interest for a very long time. I was into kid stuff. I never called my mom and said, oh, you know, I'm seeing someone right now. So cool. No, like I said, my mom, she said, if it's not the one, I don't really want to know. Like, I don't care. So Yeah. So there's no point for me to bring you to my parents if you're not going to be the one. I'm not going to waste my time and my parents' time. So when you're going to be that person, I will make the step to let my mom know that, hey, I might have someone I think I might want to bring home or whatever. But until then, you're staying where you are.
Yeah. But I think in Africa, it can lead to a lot of problems, all these taboos at home. For us, I felt like we managed to navigate it, but it was still difficult.
Let me tell you something. Even if we managed to navigate, I feel like once you went out there, I don't feel like we had the proper tool to sometimes face certain situations just because the topic never was brought at home. So when you're in the middle of something, you're just like, oh, what do I do? I don't really know. Your white friends are much more open to talk about sexuality with your parents. Like, I had friends, the boyfriend was sleeping over and things like that. I was looking at them like, wow, like, it's wild out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, your mom, she's okay. Okay, cool.
I had a friend when I was in college. And you're in France, when you're in college, you're in between 12 to 14.
So college is like middle school 15? In the US.
Yes. Yeah. And she never had a boyfriend, was not even interested, never kissed a guy. And then we went to the lycée, and the first year she got a boyfriend and she slept with him. And I was like, wow. So I was like, seriously? And she's like, yeah. And she had the conversation right away with her mom. The first things her mom asked her when she told her mom, I have a boyfriend. Her mom asked her, did you sleep with him? And she's like, yes. Oh, well, you need to take the pills. And I was like, that's it? Like that? I was so shocked.
First of all.
So you went from A to Z, and then your mom is so accepting. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool.
First of all, African parents.
I was not judging, though.
No, it's not about judging, but surprised. I would say in African household in general, first of all, when you're a girl, you always have that tradition and the culture about you being a virgin or whatever, all that stuff. So just for girls, let me tell you something. We're talking about parents. I knew some of my friends, they had older brother. They were worse than the parents. Yes. That was just like a no-go. Like, the older brother was even worse than the parents. You can't even bring that topic home because on top of that, you have their parents, their big brother. It's just too much. So a lot of women just keep that out of the household and end up sometimes in bad situation. I think it's a taboo topic or whatever you want to call it or phrase it. I think in general, when you have issues, the best way to go about those issues is to start a conversation, educate people. And I think when we were reading those articles about younger girl being pregnant and everything, it was definitely, for me, the outcome of that is the lack of education about that topic. And when you go out there, you don't really know what you're doing. And yes, I think your French friend, at least she was open enough to tell her mom, hey, you know what? I'm having a boyfriend and we are being intimate. And her mom was like, well, you know what? First thing first, you're not about to bring me a baby here. Take the birth control. Then I want you to do this. She probably had the condom conversation and all kind of other stuff, because we're young, you can get hurt. So it's always, I think, it's almost like they were a step ahead compared to us.
Of course. However, because it's different culture.
It's a different culture.
But the thing is, our parents, because my parents were in the middle of French people, like French white descent people. So they couldn't have changed their mind. But it's not about only education. It's really about belief system, value and morals. Because I remember one of my mom's friends, she works with my mom. And her daughter was my age, we were friends. And the lady told my mom, her mom told my mom, oh, Marie just had a boyfriend and I just give her the pills. And
your mom probably was like, girl.
She was shocked. She was shocked. Yeah. And she came to me saying that I could not hang out with her daughter anymore because she's sleeping with men.
That's it.
And she was like, oh, and her mom is giving her the pills. And she's like, no way I'm giving the pills to my daughter, 15 years old. Is she crazy? It's like telling her to do bad things. So for them, having this conversation, it's almost, oh, if I tell her to protect herself, if I tell her to take the pills.
It was already triggering some.
Yes, it's like I'm encouraging her
to do something.
Yeah. And it's also interesting when you talk about the brothers. That was a big problem for us. And I'm not sure in Morocco we have this. I don't know if in Africa we have this
problem. I don't know, because I don't know, because obviously I haven't lived enough on the continent, but I could tell around my surrounding. I never had that issue with my big brother. We're very close, but I could see my girlfriends who had older brother, when I say they were like 4 to 5 years older than them, then they were the one who almost were shutting him down everything. So like, you don't do that. I don't want you to see it. You don't go out. You did that.
I have a story about this. Something that really shocked me in my years, like when I was a student. So that's very interesting for me that you brought that up, because it reminds me of that story where my parents were friends with another family. They're also Berber, not from the same area. They're from the north of Morocco. The north of Morocco, the Berber there, they are apparently, I'm not for sure, but just a little bit more religious than the one where I come from. I'm not saying they're not religious,
but they're a little bit more soft with it.
Yes, exactly. From what I understood from my parents, they always told me that the people from the reef, they were a little bit more hardcore. Mm-hmm. And so she was from the reef area. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
A beautiful girl. She had two older brothers, and it was her and her little sister. And now, before I start, I need to explain you the mentality first. Like I said, for us to have a traditional home and outside it was very modern, it threatened sometimes the parents, so they end up being more strict with us because they're scared that, oh, outside,
that's where you get your influence, the bad influence.
So they will end up telling their daughter they cannot go out, they cannot do this. I was lucky enough that I live in a small area and my parents were not also influenced socially and pressurized by other family to be a certain way with us. So we have a certain liberty. I could wear makeup, I could wear skirts, which is probably for you something like, what? Yes, of course, it's weird. But for me, it was a right. It was a right that my friends didn't have. And so she lived in a city nearby where I lived. And we became friends over the years. She was the same age as me. But her life was totally different. So her two older brothers, we were a very cool guy, and in the neighborhood they were saying like,
they're
always cool guys. They were super cool with me when they see me. Hi Nadia, how are you? They talk to you, they invite you to her to go for a coffee, not drink. We weren't drinking at the time. And the closer I get with her sister, which I really like, but she never has the right to go out. Ever.
Yeah.
See her outside. I only see her at school. And she has this deep sadness that I couldn't really figure out. And so for me to see her, I had to go to her house. And she will always arrange for me to come when her family was not there.
Yeah,
when
so she didn't really want you to see the real dynamic of the household.
No, actually. She just wanted to have a one-on-one conversation without nobody, even her little sister.
Oh.
Because the little sister was the favorite of the brothers. So there were different treatments between her and her little sister. The little sister was still seen as innocent. So they treated her like a little princess.
A little bit of a different, yeah.
And her, she was the slave of the house. I'm not even kidding. So she will cook, clean their room, wash their clothes. She was the slaves of the brother. And when I was going to see her, she was telling me all of this. And when she make a movement, I see a big bruise on herself.
Oh.
And I'm like, Fatima, what is this?
And her brother was
crying,
hitting her?
Both of them.
Oh, that's bad.
She was like a punching ball. But if I feel I'm going to get emotional. When I saw this, she had bruises all over her body. I'm sorry. And I was like, why are you staying? And she's like, what do you want me
where
to go?
Where you want to go?
She couldn't do anything. She couldn't talk to a man. Her life wasn't hers.
Do you want me to tell you something crazy? I was always telling my friends, like, why your brothers are telling you what to do, or why your brothers are being like that. And for me, it's like, why your parents even let that happen? Are you the parents? So for me, it was different, because even though I had a big brother, at the end of the day, he never had a decision on me. My brother could never tell me, oh, because you don't go out. I was going to be like, oh, yeah, whatever. You're not dad. Tell me what to do. Even though we had a respect for each other, but as far as me, my body, or whatever, it's no, you're not my dad. So, and that's something that I never really understood, that kind of dynamic. So I can understand how frustrating it could be.
Listen to this. This girl was working and her brother, the two of them, will take her money. She didn't even have her own money. See. She was working. They take her money. And she told me, if I don't give it to them, they beat me. But Kizia, if I told you those bruises that I saw,
they were just
I've never seen bruises like people. This in my life. And the thing, I was like, you need to do something. You need to get out of your house. And you know, family is very difficult.
And I was about
and
to tell you.
And she was like, Nadia, don't do anything. Don't say anything because I swear God, they're going to kill me. And honestly, from the bruises that I saw, it I thought she possible. Was right. And she said, I have a plan. I'm just going to follow my study and leave. And in our family, that was the way to go. You cannot leave your house if you're not married. You yeah. had to follow your study.
And you know, even we're talking about the issue of being able to talk about different kind of subject. And in general, it's very difficult to talk about certain topic in an African traditional household. So even sometimes if you go through things, you just keep things to yourself and you just end up being a depressed person because you can talk to your mom, you can talk to your dad, you can talk to your siblings. So it's very difficult to, it could be, and I'm not saying everybody's that way, but I think it could be very difficult to express how you feel sometimes at home with the weight of the tradition and all and of that stuff.
The parents knew they weren't doing anything.
So they were just bad people. I mean,
it's, you know what? You remember when opinion. We talk about the excision? It's yeah. something that is for them socially accepted. That's what it is. And I just it
for,
is true.
Let
it,
me say
it
something.
Is,
it, just for you to say they were beating her. I can remember even now my dad telling my brother, don't you eat my daughters because I'm a F you up. So even if we were fighting or whatever, my brother always were limited in that kind of move where my dad always warned him about being violent with us, you know? So, you know, it's a yeah. And then again, every household is different, but our culture could be sometimes
so, but
the problem.
The story is not finished because it gets even worse. So, like I said, her little sister was luckier, right? They liked the little sister. They were very nice with her. Sorry. And I was sometimes asking, does your little sister do something to help you? She said, no. She's in her bubble and she enjoys being the favorite and nobody does anything. For some reason, the brother thought the little sister was kind of like the perfect little girl. And she grew up becoming beautiful. And the brother, actually the one that was the toughest one that really beat her more than the other, he find out that the little sister had a boyfriend.
Oh.
And he find out because he was watching her phone. She was at school at the time. She was at high school on the you know, the area where you just
playground. Got, the,
yeah,
playground
the playground area.
Area.
He went inside the school. He beat her up in front of everybody.
Damn.
Listen to this. Grab her by the hair and train. And how do you say that in English?
He dragged her.
He dragged her until they got almost home. And the school were so shocked. They called the police because nobody could stop him. The girl went to intensive care for, I think she was there almost 4 months. She almost died.
Can you imagine because she had a boyfriend?
And the parents, you think the parents will do something? That's the school, actually, that sued the kid because he actually went inside of the school.
Yep.
And he went to jail, I think, for a year or two. I wasn't in France at the time, so I don't remember. Yeah, I think I wasn't in France at the time because her sister is younger than her. My sister told me the story. And it's almost like you knew something really, really bad would happen. I was kind of glad that he went to jail.
She took the chance to have a boyfriend knowing how the brother are.
Yeah, but it's not her fault.
Hold on.
They were having girlfriend all over.
It's not her fault, but obviously, when I say that, it's more like at the end of the day, she went and she did something and maybe her mind got tricked where because she was the favorite, she never thought she was protected, that she would never be treated like the other one. And at the end of the day, you a woman, you have a boyfriend, it's like, and you disrespecting the family name, all that stupid stuff. And I'm glad her brother went to jail because there's so many brothers that hurt their sister and don't get anything. So I'm actually glad that he paid for that. So because this is just not okay to. And that's my thing. You could just see.
It could have killed her.
It could have killed her. But
if it was not, if she was not in school, it would have killed her. I swear to God. And my friend was 100% what she told me, Nadia, it's going to kill me. And I told you when I saw those bruises, and you told me because you're like, what should I do? Should I say to someone? But if he end up killing her before the police get there, then you're going to have her death on your conscience.
It's a difficult thing. Our parents or the generation after, they really just need to have a door open for that kind of topic to avoid that kind of situation. We different than our parents. So sometimes I think the parents need to be a little bit more open-minded and figure out also that there's a difference. We live in France, we live in London, so it's different than just being in Morocco or Abidjan. The dynamic is already different. You see different at school. You see your friends having girlfriends and vice versa, your girlfriend having boyfriends. So you want to feel that thing. You want to enjoy that. You want to experience, but you know that if you do the wrong move at home, it's a wrap. How many times I heard that, someone got pregnant, they threw her out. And yes. It's like, why don't you just sit down and have a conversation? You always have to hide, always to lie. And I think it's just exhausting. It's just exhausting. And for me, those taboo thing is like, okay, sex is there. It's something that we all going to go through that, unless you want to be maybe a nun or whatever. But at the end of the day, you can't not act like you don't see it. So it's very important to just be upfront. As a woman, when you have that type of conversation with your mom, the bonding experience is different. You know, I don't know if you understand my point, where sometimes if you're more open on that, you can be closer to your mom and become
in sexuality? More.
No. I'm just saying if you were able to talk about this kind of topic with your parents, but maybe.
You mean like sex?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Kizia. I'm 38 years old. And I still can't talk about it.
Because we have the culture thing behind her. But I'm just saying, if that were different.
Maybe with our children, yes.
Maybe, and I think.
I would be different.
I feel like it will bring the family closer to being able to discuss everything without being obviously overboard. But I think you're more comfortable when you're like, okay, my mom is okay. You have that thing where when you do something bad and then when you finally tell it to your parents, you feel better because at the end of the day, they were okay. And then you come to a conclusion and you'll be like, okay, you know what? It is what it is. Let's move forward.
But the thing is, sometimes it's not even your parents. It's also your surrounding and yes. The social pressure. It happened in France, but even more so in Africa,
yeah.
Where you have all this pressure with families and other people that kind of influence your parents' decision on how they should react and how they should treat you. And for example, in Morocco, we have a big problem with women getting pregnant,
yeah,
without being married, and so they will abandon their babies. I mean, brand new babies, newborn are being abandoned anywhere. They find it in garbage, they find them on the street, they find them
even it's, now it's still a very
it's I don't know, even more, maybe because we talk more about it now, because
so the
we
issue's
admit
more out there, yeah,
we have a problem. And the thing is that I feel like society wants to kind of ignore this. No, if we create a system where we make those girls being ashamed or they behavior to the point that they don't want to take care of the kids because we will not accept them, then it's also our social responsibility to take care of those kids.
Absolutely.
Responsible for our behaviors. Because we create this rejection, we should create the system also to take care of the people that didn't follow the rules. And until we get the time that we can educate people and explain them about contraceptions and until things change, because it's very easy to say, oh, we need to educate, da-da-da. It takes time in traditional society. I would love for Morocco to evolve quickly, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to be on
that. It does happen. Slowly. I can see it in big cities. It's not the same things as being in a small town in village area. And I'm sure, for example, the Moroccan people that are watching me right now, a lot of them will tell you, what is she talking about? It's not like this. We're very open. Women can do whatever they want. Yes, in your city. But if you go in a remote area of Morocco,
it's different.
It's still very traditional. And the women who get pregnant without being married will get rejected.
It's already the shame of the family.
Yes,
yeah.
You can't do that. It's very, very difficult. Otherwise, she will be on the street. If the girl keep the baby, she will be probably rejected or seen as a bad woman. Yeah. She will be poor. She'll probably be poor.
I will say, and not that I have anything against Muslim, but I will say, the most of the women that I know that face rejection from their family were definitely with a Muslim background, where the religion, the education play has a heavy weight.
Yes.
Because I have women in my family, some of my younger cousins who are moms and are not married, and they were fully accepted. Obviously, it's always a topic or conversation, but at the end of the day, none of them were abandoned. So the family stepped in, and then until they became fully grown women, where they now they're married and happy. But I will say, I know a lot of my friend with a Muslim background who said, I was pregnant and I'm not married and my dad don't speak to me anymore. He said, I'm ashamed. So it's very tricky because you don't want to break up with your family, but it's almost they push you out, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I see a change in our families.
Yes, it's definitely
changing.
You know,
the more they get older, I seen my dad soften up while he was getting older, and my mom too. My mom now, she's just like, just get married. I don't care even if it's Chinese.
Bring me a Chinese at this point.
But before, when I was younger, she would tell me, it has to be a Moroccan guy.
Not even a Tunisian, Algerian, même ça.
Oh, no, no.
She's like, no.
I trick her. I say, what about if I bring you a Moroccan Jewish? What? No, this is even worse than an Algerian. I was like, what?
Oh, your mom was in. She was like, nope.
But there was some tension also between Morocco and Algeria at the time. So it was like a big deal. But she was young. Now things change. And just like us, they learn too. And they also evolve in a country where people are more open. So
it gets there. And I'm sure also, if tomorrow I call my mom and say, hey, I want to talk to you about something, I'm sure she'll listen to me. And that's why I was like, she never really broached the subject, but also I don't think I ever really did. I think she's more ready, and obviously we're full on grown people.
Yes, yeah.
And at the end of the day, we making the decision. But I think if I pick up the phone and talk to anything to my mom, she will say something to me, maybe not what I want to hear, but she will definitely open to talk about this versus when we were much younger, where she was like, what you even talk about boys? Like, you got to go to school and focus on that.
My mom now, she's even like, just get a baby. Like, don't even, oh, get, she didn't even care about me being married.
The
just
husband,
get
you don't
a baby.
Need that? Okay.
And, you know, but she was asking me like, what's going on? Well, you don't find anybody. I said, you know, mom, it's difficult. New York guys are not serious. I don't want to be with someone that's not going to be a good dad. She was like, so just find a dad. I'm like, what? Oh. And she's like, yeah, just find someone. I'm like, yeah, but she's like, just find someone. Even if it doesn't work, who cares? And I was just like, oh my God.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I care.
No, but I was very surprised. But just to tell you,
it took
almost a lifetime for my parents to change. Yeah. And so imagine for them being in a modern country. Now, imagine the people in Africa and what they have to go through and how slow things change, because right there you have even more social pressure. Also in Africa, we have a big problem with sometime abortion. Either the young girls, they don't have the means to
the
get
means
it,
to
like
eat,
they don't have the money
the
to pay for
medicine
it.
And
or sometime also, like Muslim country, it's prohibited. In Morocco, women cannot legally get an abortion.
Yeah, so you can't even, see, can you imagine, you're pregnant, that means you can't even go and say, mom, I'm pregnant. So you do everything, you hide, you end up sometimes hurting yourself.
Yeah, they still do it, but they do it illegally. And sometimes it's just the way they do it is not even hygienic.
Yeah.
I've heard this thing that where they go with,
hanger.
With a hanger. Can you imagine? We're in 2021 and it's still happening today. It's sad. And
the social pressure is it's really there. They're worrying too much about what the next door neighbor is going to say, and then the shame of the family, where sometimes it's just, okay, you made a mistake. How do we step in to help? And it's getting there very slowly. It's changing. You can tell that women are being more vocal, or there's more things in place, where we know we talked about earlier the excision issue, where we have like friends who went back home and create some facilities to help women deal with that kind of trauma. Little by little, I think the people from the diaspora bring the proper tools to be able to help, but hopefully it's going to move a little faster, because we have to be able to catch up. We have to be able to catch up.
Yes. And talking about this, so I will put some link in the descriptions of different foundation in Morocco for our orphanage, because in Morocco right now we can, there's just no way of preparing facility for abortion. Now there is some doctors that does it, but they risk also their license and they risk to be arrested. So even if I knew where to go, I wouldn't tell you.
So that means in Morocco, if a doctor...
Some doctors do it illegally.
So I was about to say, if a doctor do an abortion, he will potentially be in prison.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And on top of that, one of my friends went through it and they're very condescending and they make you feel bad.
She never had... Obviously, my question was like her... Parents obviously weren't aware of that situation.
Of course not. Yeah, okay. And although, you know, she comes from a very good family, so you will think that they will be more open, but still, she was not married, she got pregnant, and she was like, I can keep it. And it was very challenging for her to find the right place. At least she had money so she could pay a doctor.
Someone,
And she explained me the process that she was going through, and she said, Nadia, it's very, very humiliating. The doctor will be asking her question, like looking at her down. And he did ask her like, aren't you married? And she's like, no.
That's none of your business.
Yes, exactly. She came for something. I don't remember exactly. All I remember was that it was a very difficult
moment in her life.
Yes. And she told me like the doctor looked at me like I was...
Nothing, like I was the last...
Like she was a girl from the street, how do you say it, of heel repute. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
He looked at her as she was like she was a woman of heel repute. Yes, exactly. And she was not. It's just things that happen.
No,
you know?
Things happen to anybody. That's the thing. It can happen to anybody. It doesn't mean you...
And also in Africa, we have problems with women. They keep having kids. They don't have money to get pills or they don't have access to it. And it's a big problem because that's also we have a lot of poverty.
I couldn't really talk about a woman's decision on being pregnant.
No,
that's your body. I'm going to say your body, your choice. But
yes,
I think there's a certain education to have in that topic.
What I was trying to say is in Africa and even here in the United States, actually, because I will come to that too. I feel like we need to plan parenthood because people don't think about it and they have kids back to back, and even when they don't have the means to provide for these kids and that's why we need to stop. And when I'm saying I'm going to talk about America, because
how do you stop, but it's just I don't know how can I phrase
people
that?
Need to understand that having kids, it's a responsibility.
It is a responsibility.
And I think even here, we've seen guys, they have 4 kids, 5 kids, left and right with different baby mama, and they don't even take care of those kids. To the point that the government has to step up and make you pay for it. It's a shame. If you're going to have kids, I mean, people and human in general, if we're going to procreate, we have to do it with respect, consideration, and it has to be thought. And the thing is that we just have baby without thinking about the consequences of our act on how we're going to raise those kids. And this has to stop. That's my opinion.
No, I understand your point. And I think it's, again, education about certain things, because sometimes a woman will get pregnant back to back and she will say, I can't afford a birth control. Or maybe she doesn't know, because you know what it is? The problem that we always talk about in Africa, where a woman has a lack of education. They haven't been to school. They can't read. They don't know this. They don't know that. So I think if they know that it's something out there that can help them prevent maybe a little bit more the pregnancy, or if they had a support.
System,
so that's why I was like, for me, it's a tricky topic, but I get what you say about making babies and then being able to provide for them, because it's crazy. We've seen that where, unfortunately, you have a baby and sometimes you can't provide. And as far as the African continent, if women get the proper, for those who need, because I don't think everybody is in that position, for those who need or have that lack of knowledge, then it will be great if they find places to find the help that they need to even deal with it. Like you talking about having multiple babies, that reminds me about a story that I saw on, I think it was Facebook or something like that, a couple of years ago. And that woman had like, I think something like 34 children or something, crazy number.
And how does she pay for that?
Let me finish. Like you're getting upset for no reason. Like let me finish the story. So what I wanted to tell you is, when you look at this like mini documentary, you first reaction is to kind of react like that. And then you understand that she had a hormonal problem. And that hormonal problem leads her to have 30 and something kids, where she had the means to maybe go see a doctor, to maybe, I don't know, tie her tubes. I don't really know nothing about medicine because I'm not a doctor, but I feel like if she had the proper support medically,
she probably didn't even know that this was available to her.
Maybe because it wasn't even in a big city. I think she was either in Kenya, or I can't even remember, so I'm not gonna confirm the place, but it was definitely a smaller, it wasn't a big city. And if she had the support system, I don't think this woman will have 30 something for, because at the end of the day, she had a medical condition and she had nothing to help her regulate that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, I see what you mean.
And that's why sometimes I think like women have multiple kids in Africa, because maybe they don't have the means to even get access to birth control or anything like that. So,
no, I get what you're saying. You know. And I was not accusing this woman.
No, I'm not saying that you were accusing her.
Oh, you're having too many kids and it's your fault. But my point is that government should put things into place
to help these women. Yeah.
Yeah, so that they can have access to this kind of things and educate people, women and men.
And I was about to say, and men needs to be also involved in the conversation, because we always forget about that.
Yeah, no, they have to be part of it. And how to plan your parenthood, you know, and help to make sure that every kid you're going to have, that it's fully wanted and that you have the means to take care of them. And you know what I mean?
It's going to take time, because you know how those African government, it's just like, you know, you can barely have a education, proper medical system. So unfortunately, our government are so effed up that they can't even provide the basics. And some countries are, you know, they stepping up and everything, but in the majority of countries, if you go to the Congo Bazaar, the hospital situation over there is a hot mess. There's nothing. Like my mom, I'm gonna tell you a funny story that has nothing to do with sexuality or whatever, but just to tell you how bad the hospital situation are. She was in Congo with my dad and she hurt herself. So my parents could afford her getting the proper treatment. She actually tripped somewhere on the street and it ended up ripping her, so she needed stitches. So mm-hmm. my dad was like, we're not even gonna play no games. They went and get the surgeon. Mm-hmm. The surgeon himself did the stitches. And my mom, I guess, while at the hospital, she was looking at people and she was like, yes, they have nothing there. And there's a guy at the bottom of the stairs. And basically he's there to put people on his back because the elevator doesn't work. And they kind of like, I guess, give him money to go up the stairs. I was like, what? She was like, no, because I'm not kidding. Like, the dude is literally putting people in his back to go up the stairs.
Yeah.
That, I mean, so things like that. And it makes it even more difficult for women to find the proper care that they need in order to be able to do better in that area. So hopefully, and I'm praying that our governments step in for education, step in for health, because it's going to help a lot the people who live on the continent. Like, we're lucky to live in Western countries and we have access to everything. So,
And it's really when you go back to
your home country that you realize that you're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, that you realize that it's really a chance.
Absolutely. You know, remember, we're talking about health.
I love Morocco, but I still feel lucky.
I love Congo, I love Ivory Coast, but you know, it's just, the reality is, it's there. The reality is very difficult. And I want to actually quote Tiwa Savage, who had a live during the manifestation in Nigeria. And she was saying, like, at the end of the day, if you have a car accident or if you're sick or anything happened to you in Nigeria, you can die just because you won't have the ambulance to bring you to the hospital on time. And that's also one of the reasons why people were marching, because the condition needs to be improved.
I stay very hopeful. We just wanted to share with you some difficulty that we had ourselves growing up in France, being African, and where sexuality was taboo, and how difficult it is in Africa, and how difficult it can be also for all these women.
So
there,
when you have a daughter,
so shout out to all the women.
Let me ask you a question. So when you have a daughter, when you're going to allow her to have a boyfriend?
I don't know. I think I will go with the flow.
Meaning
not too young, though, because I really want... I think kids nowadays, they grow up too fast. They are exposed too fast to sexuality. We are sexualizing everything. I'm really pissed off sometimes on the internet when you see all this account with, like, you know, twerking, naked women, and all this dirty stuff. I mean, come on. And your kids could be watching this. And I feel like even on TV, same things, advertising, there is always some type of sexualizations, or also right now with all the homosexuality and transsexuality, it's okay to be that. But the thing is that I think we need to protect our kids.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want them to get confused. They will figure it out later on who they are, what they want, what they like, and be ready to have
just
sex.
Just let them be kids.
Yes.
Yeah, let them be kids.
I mean, I don't know, like, just what, like you said, you weren't even thinking about this.
Oh, no. Like I said, he took me a time to get into it, but when I got into it, I was like, oh, he's fine. But I enjoyed my childhood because I was very innocent, and having male friend never was a problem because we were having fun, we were playing basketball. So I'm happy that I was able to fully experience the kid lifestyle, you know?
Yeah, without thinking about...
Absolutely.
Are you going to have sex? Or you're women, you have boobs, you have this, you have that. Are you going to... Do you like women? Do you like men? Are you feeling like a woman? You know what? You are a kid. So for me, it's like, until you decide... Until you know for sure what you are, you have no gender. You don't care about this. Just have fun and be wherever you want to be. To dress whatever, dress like whatever you want, you know?
Because I think if we bring that subject, it's more like we're not parents yet, but hopefully when that time happens, I will be able to have the proper tools to educate my children and make sure that they step out of the house with the proper equipment to handle situations, you know?
Yes, of course. And for our kids, I mean, of course, I probably wouldn't be perfect, but at least
nobody's perfect.
But I will try to do my best, you know?
Yeah,
and I think just like our parents tried, that's all we can do. And we will see. My daughter, my son, I think I will try actually to raise them the same way. Like, I don't think a boy should have the right to have a girlfriend before my daughter has the right to have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
My son will have the girlfriend. Sorry.
You got confused.
No, what I mean is, like, because sometimes some parents...
You treat them equally.
They agree that the boys can have a girlfriend when he's 14, but the girl cannot. So,
yeah,
you know
how that goes in the society.
Guys, until you reach that age, before that, you can't.
Yeah,
you know,
so like, everybody will be on the same page. Okay.
I mean, I think 12 years old, 13 years old, you can flirt and say, oh, I'm in love with this and that.
I don't know if at 13 years old, I'm going to be like...
Have a little kiss. That's when you start, you know, exploring. But at that age, I think you should
13, I'm going to have to knock you out. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to knock you out. Just no. Let me get to the 8. Night.
To me, I feel that,
you know.
To me, I feel that that's more the age when you're early teenage year, and that's where you start feeling things, and that's where you start having these things with oh, I like this boy. Oh, I would like to kiss him. But it was still very, very innocent, and I feel until you're late in your teenage years, like 16, 17, you shouldn't do anything major. Or choose something, anything major for your life or your sexuality. You know, take your time. Take your time. That's all I can say. Take your time. You know.
No, that's true. Take your time.
Don't need to rush anything.
No rush is needed. Take your time, and then obviously, for the younger Africans out there, especially for girls, I feel like if you can't really talk about this topic with your parents, there's plenty of space for you to be able to express yourself. And because keeping everything inside is not necessarily the right solution, but there is things where you can reach out to people to help you face certain situation if you feel any type of way, or you say go through a pregnancy, or I don't know, the issue, just having a simple conversation about the first time or something like that. I think if you can have that conversation with your mom or your sister or your aunt, there's places where you can just go and... Don't be scared to go get the information in order for you to be a strong woman, in order for you to be the woman that you want to be, and being able to be also a responsible woman and make the right decision.
That's right. All right, guys.
All right. Well.
So don't forget to
comment, subscribe, like.
And if you like this content, please let us know. If you have any other subject you would like us to talk about,
definitely let us address. Know. Yep.
Most of the time right now we talk about our experience, the things that we went through or that our friends went through.
We have a lot of great things coming. We did a super, super great interview on Excision. I'm not going to say much more, but a lot of great things are coming. So definitely stay tuned.
Yes. And we will see you soon.
Well, we'll see you on the next Black with Sugar.
That's right.